Breaking news, Democrats and Republicans kind of agree on something. Both parties in Congress have put forward bills aimed at boosting access to affordable, high-quality childcare, which is hard to come by for many Americans. A recent poll found that just over a third of Americans struggle to find childcare when adults need to work. While they disagree on how to go about it and pay for it, both the Republican and Democratic proposals want to increase the portion of Americans who get subsidized or free childcare and increase the supply of childcare available. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your childcare situation? Are you able to afford childcare? Did you or your partner have to stay home for it to work, whether you wanted to or not? What might help you the most as a parent? If you work in childcare, what do things look like from your side of things? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ruth Schmidt is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Ruth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. It's good to be here.
What are we seeing from the two parties in Congress, first of all, on the accessible and affordable childcare issue?
So I think I'd open by saying the first thing we're seeing is probably the closest we've come in as many years as I've been working in this field, which is over 20, to actually see bipartisanship happening when it comes to childcare. I think there is a strong understanding in our country, and it became more and more clear throughout the pandemic that childcare is critical. It's a market failure. We need to do something to stand it up, to support working parents. I think how the Republicans and the Democrats come at it are slightly different, but I think there's significant room to come together. And some significant room for optimism in this.
Before we dig into some of the details in Congress, let's bring things home to Wisconsin. Can you paint us a picture of the childcare landscape here in the state? What is working? Where do we have some room to improve?
So I'm going to actually focus on where we have room to improve because I think there's a lot of small incremental things that are working. I think we've seen throughout COVID, Wisconsin invest significant amounts of COVID relief dollars that came for childcare, which I think point to models and mechanisms that could be in place in the future that would help to really support a system of early care and education. But when I typically talk about early care and education, it's from the vantage point of understanding that we have an incredible gap between the children who need regulated care outside of the home and care that is available in the state of Wisconsin. So prior to the pandemic, we had a gap of about 40% in terms of care available. So we had over 117,000 children under the age of five with all available parents and guardians in the workforce who could not secure regulated care outside of the home. The impact on this is being felt across our state in urban areas, in rural areas. It looks very different from one place to another, but everyone is experiencing that increasingly parents are struggling to work, businesses have job openings for over 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. The Bipartisan Policy Center indicates that the economic impact of the gap in care in Wisconsin hovers between $2.8 and $4 billion annually. So significant losses in our economy because we have this incredible shortage of available care for our youngest kids.
Can you talk about this more as a workplace issue? We hear again and again, we don't have enough people to fill positions in jobs around the state and around the country. But a lot of families, I was here, you know, when my kids were little, you weigh how much would you pay for childcare versus how much do you make going for work? Sometimes it makes more economic sense not to work. Is that part of your selling point to take action on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're hitting at a really good point here. And this is what really, when we talk about market failure, this is it, right? So we know that there are parents out there that are demanding care, that need care, and simply don't have the income to purchase the care that they need to be able to work, right? When childcare is hovering at approximately $10,000 to $12,000 a year in Wisconsin, depending on the age of your child, depending on which market you're in. Not many households can easily make that kind of payment for care. It's chewing up upwards of 15 to 30% of median household incomes, depending on what market you're in. At the same time, you've got providers that want to be able to fill the necessary gap, right? They want to be able to provide care. They want to be able to meet the need of children and families in their communities. They want to be able to support the economy. But they can't do it because they can't charge any more money, right? And so you've got these two forces, revenue and demand versus availability and cost. And it simply is not working for many, many families. And then what we see in childcare itself is that three quarters of childcare programs are currently trying to hire people. So we have open classrooms that are sitting vacant because programs can't hire staff. They've reduced hours, they've increased wait lists. And when you look at this workforce and you see that they're earning close to poverty level wages, high levels of reliance on public assistance, despite having education, despite having years of service, we really are in a fragile place when it comes to sustaining care and meeting the needs of working parents at a place where they can afford to have their children.
Talking to Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, about child care shortfalls in terms of accessibility and affordability in Wisconsin and beyond, efforts in Congress to try to help close that gap. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your own experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Dave is with us in Toma. Dave, hello.
Yeah, hi. I've just got two quick points to make, and then you can talk about it off the air. One is, I just don't have a lot of sympathy. If people, why are people having kids they can't afford? That's my first, my starting point. I don't have a lot of sympathy. And the other one is, the standards for child care have gotten ridiculously high. And if we lowered the standards to where they were back in the 70s, where there was a lot of people offering private daycare and things, the cost would come down and it wouldn't be such an issue.
Dave, thanks for the call. Ruth, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think first I'd say it's pretty common to hear this question about families having children that they can't afford. I think the one thing I'd want to point out on that is in Wisconsin, we lead the nation in babies with mothers in the workforce. Now, this isn't, so the national average of babies with moms in the workforce is about 61%. And in Wisconsin, it is over 70% of babies have moms in the workforce. This isn't necessarily because just because moms want to work. This is a function of sort of the reality of our economic system, right? We already have a workforce shortage in Wisconsin. And if we were to take women out of the workforce to be home with children when they're young without replacing it with something, I think all it would do is make the current economic situation, the current workforce issues that we're struggling with, that much worse. I don't think anyone is saying what is right or wrong for a family. That is obviously something that should be left up to families. But the economic reality of our country and our state in many, many cases is that you have all available parents in the workforce in order to make household function and in order to help our economy function and the workforce as a whole in Wisconsin. So that's the one thing I'd say about that. And then in terms of lowering standards, I can tell you that this is one that sort of always gets my it gets me on edge when I hear people talking about this, because the bulk of brain development is happening with children under the age of three. This is when like 80 to 90% of the architecture of the brain is developing, language is developing, social emotional skills, which are the foundation for all future learning, are developing. This is a time when we need our children to be in the best possible care with educated early childhood educators working with them, caring for them, providing developmentally appropriate care for those kids. This has been studied up one side and down the other in terms of what is best for children, what is best for their long-term health, what's best for success in school. And if you talk to people that work in the workforce of early care and education, I think you would hear over and over again, please do not water down the standards and the requirements, because what we do is so important. And we need to have the protections we have in place, and we need to have the adult-to-child ratios that we have in place in order to do our jobs well.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We're talking to Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, talking about bills in Congress that, if passed, would make childcare more affordable and accessible. That's their goal anyway. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work in childcare, what do you wish people knew about your job? What are your thoughts on the levels of pay and compensation? If you need childcare as a parent, what are you seeing out there? What are you not seeing out there right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Ruth Schmidt, the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. We're talking about proposals from both sides of the aisle to make childcare more accessible and affordable. Still time for your calls with your questions, your thoughts, maybe your experiences working in childcare, looking for childcare. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now with Dana in Appleton. Dana, hello.
Hello. So I'm a single mother that I work part-time and I go to school, and I have two children, one of school age and one that's 3 years old. And they're currently at a daycare that is charging me $1,800 a month for a full-time kid, 3 years old, and a kid who's there for 5 hours a week. And they know how much I get for state aid, or, you know, before any of the situation happened of me, you know, it being transferred in my name and everything like that. And it's almost like I feel like the daycare center almost knew how much I was going to get, and like they charge more than what that is. It's just crazy. And then to find another daycare center that is willing to take a kid of my age, of their ages, and there's a waiting list that's so long, I don't know if I'm going to be able to work because of that.
Dana, thanks a lot for the call. Ruth, that's the kind of story I'm guessing you hear fairly often.
We do hear that story very often, and thanks for the comments, Dana. And I think this points to the need for one of these bills, either the Republican bill, the Democratic bill, or some compromise between the two for us to move something forward so that individuals in Dana's situation have access to affordable care. I think what's tricky about these situations, we have a shortage of care in Wisconsin. We have waiting lists in childcare programs, in some cases up to 6 months to a year. The running joke is, as soon as you find out you're pregnant, you need to get on a waiting list so that you have your care available when you give birth to that baby. This is a huge issue, Dana. And The perspectives are in tension with each other, right? Like, I hear you. I definitely hear how hard it is to have to face making that type of a payment every month. When we look at how care is, how childcare programs operate, the margins are razor thin. No one is making money in this industry. If they were, we wouldn't have a shortage of it, right? Like, if this were a business model that worked, we would have no shortage of childcare programs because we would open them and they would operate successfully. But even though $1,800 a month sounds astronomically high, when you figure that into the cost of operating a childcare program, paying mortgages, utilities, insurance, food, supply, curriculum, materials that you need for your classrooms, let alone staff, you find out that there's just not enough left over. So there's no good answers, honestly, without a significant public solution to this. And by public, I mean a government solution to ensuring that there's tax dollars that are going in to support childcare in a bigger way for working families.
Dana, thanks for that call and good luck to you. Before we go back to our callers, Ruth, can you talk more now about what is in those Democratic and Republican plans? Some of the key items that you might, that there's some overlap even, that might help out with that situation you just outlined.
Yeah. So I think the encouraging things that we see in both the Republican and the Democratic proposals are hoping to get to a cap on the amount of household income that would need to be paid for care, and that cap would be at no more than 7% of household income. It differs in terms of, for the Republicans, their bill would sort of cap out with families at approximately $142,000 nationally. That would be the national average. And for Democrats, it goes up to about $240,000 of household income. So more families served under the Democratic bill, fewer families served under the Republican bill, but the Republican bill, as it is presented, would go a long way to supporting many, many more families and income-constrained families in Wisconsin. The other pieces that are similar is that both are built on this desire to have family choice, parent choice as to want, where you want your child to be in care. The pieces that I think are problematic to me in the Democratic bill, or in the Republican bill rather, they haven't put a price tag on it, so we have no assurances of what they're willing to actually come to the table with in terms of dollars for this project. It would be a continuation of the Child Care Development Block Grant that's existed for many years. Wisconsin uses that to support subsidy for people who need it in Wisconsin. The Democratic bill, what I like about it, many things, but one is that it also includes a very targeted increase in wages for people that work in this field so that we could hopefully turn the corner on shortages of workforce coming into this field. We could get them the training they need. They could get benefits. They could be paid commensurate with their levels of education. So lots of good stuff in both, slightly different ways of achieving it.
Talking to Ruth Schmidt from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, looking at a child care gap in Wisconsin and around the country, some plans in Congress aimed at tackling that problem. Back to your calls now. Shalina is with us in Appleton. Shalina, hello.
Hello. I am an elementary school teacher, and our school has recently provided public 3K and 4K classrooms. Watching what goes on in the classroom and the struggles that we are having, I see some frustrations with that. And after living in Germany for 3 or 4 years, I noticed that in Europe, you have the families are far more empowered because of the family leave and child care income credits and those to support the families to be able to have that time with their children at home and not be forced to work and to have to put your kids in child care. And I just wonder if we can move this political conversation from providing universal child care into what can we do to provide parents the best options for them.
Shalina, thanks a lot for that call. Ruth, could that be part of the solution, more family leave so that a parent doesn't have to make that choice between do I go back to work or pay for child care or not?
Yes, I think it should definitely be part of the conversation that we're having, but I think that's a harder part of the conversation. And lots of European countries get this done well. They provide that type of support for parents upon the birth or adoption of a child. So you've got some time to be away and be with your child and bonding and everything that you want to do as a new parent. They also provide considerably public supported options for childcare. when it is time to be back at work, right? So they do it correct on two different levels. In our country, I think we're struggling with both, right? We don't have a decent level of paid family leave that's required to support moms and dads when they have children. And we certainly don't have the supports that we need when it comes to the childcare infrastructure. The other thing that I would just really briefly say is when you're talking about children coming into four-year-old kindergarten, we often hear from four-year-old kindergarten teachers in Wisconsin that they can tell the difference between children that are coming out of high-quality childcare, having had that benefit and being ready to learn when they hit those classrooms. Which to me is just another thing I think that speaks to the value of investing correctly in the care that our young children do get.
In just our last half a minute or so, Ruth, are you optimistic that something is going to come out of Congress between these two plans?
I am optimistic that something will come out. I will be probably the first to say I hope it can go a lot further than I think it's going to go, but I am optimistic that it's going to be better than what we had in past years.
Ruth, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. She talked to us today about two bills aimed at making affordable childcare more accessible to more Americans. One plan from Republicans in Congress, one plan for Democrats. As we heard, a fair amount of overlap. There is still time for you to share your thoughts or maybe your experiences or your solutions. You can do that. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what you think. You can also always tweet us at Central Time WPR.